Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Steve?
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning slash afternoon.
Good morning
good
slash
everything.
Afternoon. Good everything. Also joining us is Dr. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. Dr. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing and your website, what people can find there should they visit.
Well, we are offering on the website a library of Christian resources, Bible studies, sermons, podcasts, FAQs. We hear all the time from pastors and missionaries and Christian workers, not just in the U.S., but because it's the internet all over the world, whether they're in the Congo or Egypt or India. We hear quite a few pastors in Pakistan, the Philippines, and the islands of the Pacific. So let me just say, if you're looking for a place where you can understand the Bible and you want some free biblical resources, surf on over to keepbelieving.com and check us out.
All right. Thank you, Pakistan. That's going to be a tough place to be pastoring in this day and age with radical Muslims. All right. So, Walker, we wanted to also get a chance to tell our listeners about something upcoming that they might take advantage of as well.
Yeah. AFR, a couple of our hosts and employees here at American Family Association and American Family Radio, will be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania next week on Thursday night. It's the 20th of February. So a week from today, I guess, we'll be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at a town hall event. It's a public event, but you do need to register, and I'll tell you how to do that. If you just visit our website, afa.net/events, you can register there. So we'll be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, February 20th, and some people will say, well, where are you going to have the event? And I don't tell them because you need to go register.
You need to go register. So, now, is this going to be Abraham Hamilton III will be speaking at this
yep.
one?
Okay. Yeah, Abe will be there.
You're going to be there. Are you?
I'll be there. Abe will be there. I'll be there. We have different topics we're going to discuss on that revolve around the mission of AFA. My brother Wesley Wildman will be there. Rob Chambers of AFA Action will be there. So it's going to be a great event. And if you go to our website, afa.net/events, and you click register, the address, the time, all the information you need is on the website.
All right. If you're up in that neck of the woods, go check that out. These, especially during an election year, these already have been garnering really good crowds. For these the couple events we've had up to now. We're going to be doing these in some of the other states, swing states, I guess you'd call them, from now up until the election, to encourage Christians to become informed, equipped, active in the culture and in politics. Make sure you get registered, you vote, but also to let you know what AFA is doing, as Walker mentioned. And let me just tell you, if you've never heard Abraham Hamilton III speak in public, he is a dynamo. Mm-hmm. You need to go and listen. Plus, the other guys who will be there will be great as well. All right, Steve Jordahl, man of distinction.
Walker, have you ever heard? He's amazing. You should be there and hear him.
Abe is very talented.
He is. He's a good man.
No, yeah. I'm secure enough in my ego that I don't need compliments on the air.
Well, you're amazing too. Now, Walker, I am going to say that.
Thank you. Ed.
You're amazing. Listen, I will say this. The last couple of years, I was on the road with Brian Fisher, and Wesley would go. Walker, I think you might have gone to an event mm-hmm. or two as well. And so now we've kind of switched the team up, and Abe is going out to do the speaking. I would always tell people, I know why I'm here. I am the opening act for Brian Fisher. I have no problem accepting that. People did not come out to
That's my role now.
Yeah, people did not come out to hear me. I know that. I'm like the band that would open for the Beatles or the Eagles or something.
For the record, I'll be holding down the fort here in Tupelo.
And you're amazing, Steve.
Oh, thank you.
Brent Creeley, you're amazing. All right, all God's children are amazing. Everyone gets a trophy in our neck of the woods. All right, Steve.
All right, I heard you guys last hour, you were talking a little bit about this case in Connecticut. The Alliance Defending Freedom is representing three young girls who run track in that state high school track, and the state is allowing transgender boys, we call them boys, that are males, to run against them. And they had a – I wanted to – you guys mentioned some of the girls. Yesterday, they had a press conference on the state of the state capitol, on the steps of the state capitol. I just wanted to play you in her own voice. This is Selena Sewell, one of the girls that is suing the state for the right to run in girls' track. And this is Selena Sewell, Cut 16.
I started running when I was 8 years old. Track continues to fill an important part of my life. The track is my happy place. Working out, competing helps me handle stress, helps me make new friends, and meet athletes from other schools and other backgrounds. It helps me become a better version of myself. I have hopes of competing in college, ideally at a Division I level. And I've worked incredibly hard to shave just fractions of seconds off of my time. But like other track athletes standing here today, I face an impossible situation. In 2017, the CAAC changed the rules of our sport and forced us to race against biological boys. That changed everything. Now, when we line up in front of our blocks and the starter calls us to get into position, we all know how the race will end. We can't win. We've missed out on medals and opportunities to compete. But when we've asked questions, we've been told we're allowed to compete, but we shouldn't win. None of us sacrifice our nights and weekends just for participation. That's not why we run track. That's not why we have women's sports.
It puts it on a whole different, I mean, you know the battle, but when you hear it in her own voice, you go, man, that just isn't fair.
You know, Ray, I've heard other female athletes in high school, for the most part, I'm not sure how far this has progressed in college, but I heard one young woman say, listen, what's going to happen here eventually is that women are going to be in the stands watching their own sport because men who claim to be women are going to be taking over and taking these races.
Well, first, that young woman was very well spoken. She did a nice job. Not easy to do that in public, to say what she said, because she's going against the prevailing cultural trend of the day. But you're exactly right. It's a point Penny Nance made last hour, that if this continues, the inevitable result is there will be no more women's sports. Why don't we just say the truth? What we're allowing boys who pretend to be girls to race against the girls, and the boys are going to win basically every single time. Why should the girls even come out and try? Because we're destroying what we say we want to preserve, which is women's sports across America. This is, it's idiotic to do what we're doing. It's hard to understand how we got to this place.
Well, Walker, I'll get your take on this, and then we'll move on, because we spent some time with Penny Young Nance in the previous segment talking about this. But this was the whole reason why we have women's sports to begin with, is because young women came out and said, listen, I like to run too. I like to play basketball too. I like to play, you know, hockey. I like to play sports too, but all the money's taken up with boys and young men in high school and college. And that's why we had women's sports to begin with, because women like athletics too. But now, in a bizarre twist, they could very well lose their opportunity because the culture, at least some small, powerful, influential percentage of it, thinks there's no difference between men who claim to be women and actual biological women.
Yeah, this brings me back, or this reminds me of before Obergefell in 2015, the talking points of the left and people who were in favor of this type policy and agenda, they would say, look, just let us live our lives, talking about homosexuals and transgenders, etc. Let us live our lives, you just mind your own business, and et cetera, et cetera. Basically creating this idea that we need freedom, we need liberty, let people make their own decisions. Well, this has turned into where this is not victimless behavior now.
Right.
Where you're just talking about the individual and how they want to carry out their lives. This is starting to have an effect on other people. There are now victims to these type policies. And you're seeing it with sports. You're seeing it with Target's bathroom policy and changing room policy, where they allow men into women's changing areas. So there are victims here, and that's what makes this so upsetting.
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously, we will continue to cover these kinds of issues. There are a couple of two or three Supreme Court cases that we will have results from and rulings from before the end of June. So this issue is definitely not going away. All right, Steve, what's next?
Did you guys hear about this man in Florida who drove a van into a tent full of Republicans and Trump supporters?
I did.
You might have, if you're watching Fox or if you're listening to us, you have heard about it. But if you're watching any of the other mainstream media, you missed it because they're not covering it.
Well, now, wait a second. That would indicate bias on the part of the media.
That would be one of the takeaways from that hit, yes. Joe Concha, who's the media editor at The Hill magazine or The Hill newspaper website, was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he was talking a little bit about this. And I want you to hear not only what he has to say about the other media that's the mainstream media that's not covering it, but when outlets do cover it, listen to how they cover it. This is Cut 5.
Go to a parallel universe for a moment where somebody drives a car into a tent that, say, Warren supporters are trying to register folks. Do you think it would be 25 seconds only on one network
you
3 days later?
You mean a Republican behind the wheel?
Yeah, a Republican behind a Trump supporter, right, wearing a MAGA hat. Yeah, and guess who would get blamed? President Trump would be blamed for it in the most pious and sanctimonious of ways. You created this culture. Are you going to answer for this? Ask me if any Democratic lawmaker's been asked
about
this. Some of the headlines I've seen in the coverage after this will make you nauseous.
Like what?
Politico, for instance. Let me read this one. Republicans vow, quote, revenge at ballot box after volunteers nearly hit in van. In other words, it's being turned on its ear. Time Magazine quotes the guy who wrote it, Steve. Yeah. Says, quote, someone had to take a stand after man allegedly drives.
As if we should look up to him.
That's incredible.
It's crazy.
Republicans vow revenge. So
wow.
They turn this into a Republicans are going to get even kind of thing without really indicating.
Because, Republicans are doing all this. The narrative is that, well, this is happening on both sides. Or it's Republicans are just as angry. President Trump is, causing all this violence. I don't remember any stories. I have another story, too. Like this. I don't remember any story about a Republican burning a car, breaking a window, driving a van into somebody else's tent, or, as happened in Tennessee, Nashville, this was this last weekend, a retired New York City cop, 50 years old, decides to celebrate his birthday in one of the downtown restaurants in Nashville. He goes in and he has on a red hat that says "Make 50 Great Again."
A little play on the
Trump hat,
right?
And he has on a shirt that says "Making America Great for 50 Years." Obviously, talking about himself being 50 years old,
right?
Having fun with it. Some lady who either wasn't paying attention to what his actual gear said, or was just supremely triggered, whipped him around by the shoulder and slugged him in the face. He said she either had on a big ring or had keys between her finger because his face was slashed to the bone. And then she
Good
left.
Night.
And I asked you this morning, we were going over this in our story meeting, if they arrested her, but she took off.
She took off.
They're looking for her.
At this point, at least I haven't, as of this morning, I haven't checked back, but I don't think they found her.
Oh, it's not a national story, but it is part of a national trend.
Yes.
Where the violence is coming from. It's not coming from conservatives. It's not coming from Republicans.
Ray, I got to say, I'm with Steve on this one. I mean, that's a no-brainer. People who've listened to me know I'm conservative. But hey, listen, if conservatives were doing this, I would be outraged too, because you cannot have a civil, democratic / representative democracy republic with this kind of activity going on. This is what they do. This is what they do in India.
It's one of the signs of cultural decline when you can't even make a joke anymore. So a guy is celebrating his 50th birthday and he's got a red hat and it says "Make 50 Great Again." Okay, the woman either, as you said, either she didn't read or she just transmuted that into Trump supporter, Trump bad, this man bad, and she basically tore up his face. Mm-hmm. I hope they find her. I hope they charge her, and I hope she has to pay for it, because it's a dangerous thing. I mean, first of all, it's just dangerous what she did, but it's a sign of the times when a fellow on his 50th birthday gets attacked because of the silly hat that he's wearing. He's just making a little bit of a joke. It just shows where we are as a culture at this moment.
Yeah, I hope she gets 9 years in prison. To at least be equal to Roger Stone.
That's right.
Good luck. That's right. We'll be lucky if she gets 9 days.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
Let's go from the ridiculous to the even more ridiculous. This isn't violent, but it does show you where some people's minds are at. I take you to the University of Virginia. UVA has just put up a brand new multicultural student center. Note the name, Multicultural Student Center.
Okay, so that would indicate that this is going to be a place where students can congregate and it would celebrate the diversity on campus.
Diversity of different people and everything.
I'm cool, especially if all the different groups represented bring food from their cultural backgrounds.
What a great idea. Let's have a
great idea for
a potluck.
Right. Okay.
Such a
good.
Baptist.
I'm tracking, but this is. I didn't say casserole.
Okay.
I didn't say bring casserole. I just said.
But that's what you meant. We all knew.
Y'all knew what I meant. All right. So this is at the University of Virginia.
So 2 days into this, and somebody pulls out a cell phone and records a woman of color saying this. This is what cut are we? Cut 9.
Public service announcement. Excuse me. If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC, and frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, she got one person to cheer.
Yeah, okay. So this is, she says POC, wow. People of color.
Right, person
okay,
of color.
So this was the multicultural center.
The multicultural
right.
center.
But right. The white people aren't invited.
No.
Okay, well, now listen. I am okay with, let me preface it with my own background so that people won't think I'm being racist or something about what I'm about to say. I'm okay with the Italian-American group that meets together, you want to get together and talk about Italian heritage, then those Italian-American groups exist. I'm half Greek. I certainly don't mind Greek people getting together. I certainly don't mind people of color getting together and saying, you know what, we want to talk about our common experiences and enjoy a time together. I'm cool with that, all right? But if it's called the Multicultural Center, you can't say white's not allowed.
Yeah.
All right? I'm sorry, and I don't understand why these people don't get it, except that they are so burned up with hate for white people. This young lady obviously has extreme bitterness in her heart towards white people. I mean, she would do better to improve race relationships, Ray, by saying, hey, listen, glad white people are here. Let's talk about some of our experiences.
I thought multicultural meant we want people from different backgrounds, different ethnic heritage, different culture, different skin color. We want people from all different groups to come here on a basis of equality, and let's get to know each other. Isn't that what multicultural is supposed to mean?
Sounds like it to me, Ray.
Yeah.
But, you know, according to critical race theory, which is, I'm returning now to the subject of our earlier story on the Southern Baptist Convention, because I'm white, I will always be a racist and cannot see my own racism, regardless of how Jesus may be changing me.
We see it, though.
I was being a little sarcastic there, so
you know, but
for the
liberals who claim to want equality across the board in every area, they sure do focus a lot on skin color. They create victimhood. Oftentimes, they fabricate it, like Jesse Smollett did. But in this case, you know, they claim conservatives are racist, but they're the ones that are very divisive. And she's the one telling that white people aren't allowed in the cafeteria or the multicultural center.
I wonder what the result was of this. Does the story say, did white people filter out with their heads hanging down and
this was,
in shame on their face?
This was the article that I read was written, it was in Fox News, and it does not say.
I'd be interested to know.
The school told the Washington Examiner that he said, quote, this is a spokesman for the school, Brian Coy, we need to build a community that is not just diverse but also inclusive. He's saying this is a multicultural center for everyone.
Well, good, so good on them then.
Right.
On the right side of this,
all right.
It seems.
Good. All right, what else we got?
Sometimes, just on accident, Democrats tell the truth.
You're going to have to convince me of that.
I want you to listen to Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, who is in a hearing. It's a committee hearing on the Hill. They're talking with the Fed chair about monetary policies. I want you to hear what Sherrod Brown says, cut 11.
They took away overtime for about 2 or 3 million Americans because of truncating the overtime rule, tax cuts for the rich, and now cuts for Medicare. I mean, we know Congress isn't doing its job to redistribute income in any way that's fair to hundreds of millions of Americans. We know that.
I'm sorry. What is Congress's job?
I'm sorry. You're going to have to play that again.
Yeah.
Because I could not get past
the frog in his throat?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He needs a lozenge or something.
What Congress is doing.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, Betty White or somebody from the Golden Girls.
Play it again, Sam.
They took away overtime for about 2 or 3 million Americans because of truncating the overtime rule, tax cuts for the rich, and now cuts for Medicare. I mean, we know Congress isn't doing its job to redistribute income in any way that's fair to hundreds of millions of Americans. We know that.
There you go.
Congress is not doing its job to redistribute wealth.
Income, right.
In a fair and equitable manner.
That's his
and
job.
And where is that in the Constitution?
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
The living,
and
breathing, changing
the talking point of tax cuts for the rich is factually inaccurate, because everyone knows who has a working job and they get taxes deducted from their paycheck knows that the income tax rate went down, especially for middle to lower class, last year. And the tax cuts were across the board, especially for the middle class. And so they keep parroting that.
The phrase is paying their fair share. If they were going to pay their fair share, the rich would be paying a lot less, because they bear a massive amount of the burden of the funding the government.
All right, you may have time for one more story.
One more thing. I want you to play. This is an Amy Klobuchar voter from Ohio who is going to tell America about her fail-safe voting method. This is cut 12.
I voted for Amy Klobuchar.
Tell me why.
I actually went in and eeny, meeny, miny, moed it.
You're kidding.
No, between
literally
two candidates.
In the booth.
In the booth.
Yeah.
So she went in there and went down the list?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and Amy Klobuchar, moe, apparently. Moe Klobuchar won.
Okay.
Well,
that's one way to do it.
Yeah, that is one way to do it. And I suppose with that Democratic field, just being trying to be nice here, that may be your best bet.
Right.
In trying to come up with
I'll admit I might have eeny, meeny, mied, and moed it, if I just said that right, on some test in high school.
Yeah.
But I think I take things a little more serious when talking about voting.
Well, you hope. You hope you do.
You hope that.
You hope.
That's
right.
True. All right. You got one quick thing you got? Or?
Play cut. Yes. Quickly play cut 13.
I refuse to suggest any Democrat can lose. I think, we could run Mickey Mouse against this president and have a shot.
Wow.
Joe Biden, everybody.
Joe Biden. Mickey Mouse.
Let's try it. Let's do it.
Let's try it. See what happens.
I do
Let's
better
try
than the
if he's got, hey,
have.
Mickey Mouse, if he's got enough money to run ads, jump in. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today, for today's issues. I want to thank Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard, Fred Jackson, Alex McFarland, Steve Jordahl, thank you guys for making this show just a screaming success. Brent Creeley, thank you for all that you do. And folks, this is not the end of radio for today on American Family Radio. More great programming directly ahead. Please stay tuned.